Ms. Morris. Ms. Madonia.
May it please the court. My name is John Madonia. I'm an attorney for Daryl Morris. Mr. Morris was convicted of being in possession of weapons, notably firearms, at a time when he was a convicted felon. We appeal from this conviction with a strong emphasis on the actual sentence that was imposed on Mr. Morris. The court determined that Mr. Morris possessed the weapons for which he was convicted at a time when he was engaged in other felonious conduct. The court ruled that there was a connection between the weapons that he was convicted of possessing and the felonious conduct that they determined he had committed. We stand before you suggesting that there is simply insufficient evidence. The government did not meet their burden.
That's preponderance of the evidence.
By preponderance of the evidence that he was committing felonious conduct. The government points to alleged drug dealing being dealt from a house that was occupied by his brother, on which there was a lease signed by his mother and his brother. They conducted a raid on that house.
Did Judge Scott indicate it had to do with the drugs that are being sold out of the house, or his admission that he'd been using marijuana and occasionally sold marijuana?
You're correct, Your Honor. She in fact, indicated that there was no substantial evidence that the defendant had sold any of the drugs out of that house. I was referring mostly to the government's position that the defendant was in the residence where those drugs were being sold and that he lived in the residence where the drugs were being sold, and there's simply no evidence of that. He did, in fact, you're correct, Your Honor, make a statement that he lived at the residence and that his name was on the lease. And in my brief, we've cited several reasons why those statements should not be taken literally. And in fact, that very statement, the one that he made that suggested that, well, the one attributed to him, that he lived in that house and was on the lease, has proven to be false. In the appendix, there's a copy of the lease and there's a copy of a damages contract. My client's name does not appear on any of those documents. He was not on that lease, and that statement attributed to him that he was on the lease is false. The true evidence about that house, there was no mail in his name. There were no clothes attributed to him. There was no evidence of fingerprints. They did trash rips for 2 days prior to entering that house with the search warrant. Not a single fingerprint was ever attributed to my client on any of those bags that they took out of those trash rips. There wasn't even a bedroom for him to sleep in. There was one bedroom in that house occupied or fit for living, and that was his brother and his girlfriend and their infant child. To impose that enhancement on my client was a mistake. And Judge Scott admittedly struggled with that decision. She stated that in open court on the record. Our position is simply that there wasn't sufficient evidence by preponderance standard to suggest that he was even engaged in any of that felonious conduct at all. If you take his statement at face value that he said that he smoked weed and sometimes got enough to pay the rent, there was no evidence that he paid rent to anyone. He may have a punishment in his life, but those guns that he was accused of possessing and convicted of possessing could have at most been in his possession for 6 months. And there was no evidence that at any time during those 6 months that he could have possessed those weapons, that he was engaged in the distribution of marijuana. There's no timetable. There's no location. And if you look at Wyatt, in Wyatt, factors used to determine in connection with, if there is a connection between, guns possessed and felonious conduct, namely drug dealing. They look at the accessibility of the weapons and the proximity of the weapons to where the crime was taking place. And again, that goes back to that house. They were stored in a ceiling, somewhere above a bedroom and somewhere in a hallway, in a ceiling panel. I would submit that's not accessible. Not the kind of accessibility that you see in Wyatt and that you see in Haynes that I cited in the brief.
Well, there's argument there about accessibility, whether you can, under certain circumstances, if somebody's doing a raid on a house, it's handy because when you're moving to another part of the house, you can get them. The Judge Scott did, and I can't find it at the moment, discuss the aspect of being in the house and other drug sales, or did she focus on the marijuana sales?
No, she focused strictly on the marijuana sales. The sale of marijuana, that's exactly what she's basing her decision on. And I've argued, and I just don't see when they can establish that those sales were being taken place by my client. There is no timetable, but there is a timetable for when he possessed those weapons. And absent that connection, this enhancement can't be imposed. That is the real crux of our argument here, is that that's a four-point enhancement that was imposed on my client.
In number of months, what did that mean to him?
I'm sorry?
In number of months, what did that enhancement mean?
If there is not sufficient evidence for the four-point enhancement, he's down to base offense level of 18 with a 3, and I believe, and I've got it somewhere in my 41, I can tell you that is the maximum that he could receive under the sentencing guidelines.
Without the enhancement.
Without the enhancement, correct. And he received a sentence of 57 months, which is a difference of 16. It's substantial to my client. I think absent those factors, I mean, the fact that, and if you look at the government's brief, it clearly states in this argument section, they're relying on his being a part of that residence, being in that residence. There are several people in that residence at the time this raid was conducted. Several. And nobody's saying they lived there. There is no other evidence. My client lived at that house. All the standard things that you would think would be there when someone is the residence of a house, we're not there. I think that's important. And that's a part of the government's, that's a key part of the government's argument, is that he was a resident of that house. He lived at his mom's house. That's what the testimony elicited. He came back to town. He lived with his mom. And I think it makes sense, oddly enough, out of respect perhaps for his mother, he did not keep these stolen guns at her house. He took them to his brother's. If in fact you want to ignore argument issue one, sufficiency of the evidence, assuming that the court is going to suggest that there was sufficient evidence to suggest he possessed those weapons, would not keep them at his mom's house, took them to his brother's house and left them there. That does not mean he lived there, does not mean he dealt drugs out of there. And absent that evidence, that particular enhancement should not be applied.
Okay. You want to reserve the rest of your time?
I would love to.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Don. Mr. Gilmore.
Thank you, Your Honor. Counsel, may it please the court, Greg Gilmore for the United States. Your Honors, beginning with the enhancement that counsel focused on, basically what we have is evidence of drug dealing prior to the search warrant. We have that from 2 days of trash trips. We have baggies with the corners removed, also baggies with marijuana residue, baggies with cocaine residue. We have the officer surveillance prior to the search warrant, which confirms foot traffic, which is consistent with drug dealing. We then have the search warrant executed on January 9th, approximately 7 p.m. When the search is executed, police find two firearms, marijuana, a marijuana grow book, a gram weight scale, and additional baggies and baggies with the corners removed, which have cocaine and marijuana residue.
For this defendant, did Judge Scott ever indicate that she was enhancing his sentence because of anything other than marijuana?
No, Your Honor. It's our position
It's my belief at sentencing transcript, pages 16 and 17, she speaks about the statute 21 U.S.C. 841b1d and how dealing marijuana for remuneration is a felony. And so she did focus on the sales of marijuana.
Not the other stuff that was going on in the house. Right?
Correct, Your Honor. However, this court can't affirm on the record if there's sufficient evidence indicating that the preponderance of the evidence shows that the application of the enhancement was correct. And we believe it does. When the search warrant is executed, the defendant is in the small house. He's present there. He states that he is on the lease. He states that he's lived there the last couple of months. He states the last 2 months. He said that he's possessed this gun for protection, and he also said that he sold marijuana. Now, we know that he hadn't worked legitimately for 3 years, and counsel is correct that the defense presented some evidence that the defendant did not live there through the defendant's mother, the defendant's brother, and the defendant himself. However, the judge, sentencing judge, was free to discredit that testimony, that evidence, just like the jury rejected that evidence in convicting the defendant. Now,
what was the evidence that he did live there?
That he did live there, Your Honor? His statement that he lived there, and the fact that he was there when the search was executed. That would be the evidence that he did live there. And he stated this both in...
Do we have any sense of time when he... the record reflect when he represented that he lived there?
Yes, Your Honor. The defendant signed a sworn statement, which was Government Exhibit 9, after the introductory statements where he lived, who he's making to, he has a right to a lawyer, those sorts of things. It starts out just after his initials, where he placed his initials. I've lived in Springfield since I was in the sixth grade. I moved from Champaign. I have lived at 1225 East Ash for about the last 2 months with my brother Andre Snow and Andre's girlfriend, Fidisha Thomas. I don't work right now, but I plan to open a model agency someday. And then he talks about how he last worked for a waterproofing service approximately 3 years ago. So that's the defendant's sworn statement, Your Honor, in that regard is to where he lived at the time of the search.
You know, we have a statement that he, I think you rely on, that he smokes weed and sometimes gets enough to make a little money to pay for rent and still have enough to get high.
Yes, Your Honor.
I guess the government wants us to draw the inference that that has to do with gets enough money to pay for rent, because it's in the same phrasing that gets a little money is from drug sales.
Yes, Your Honor.
In fact, he says he personally uses it and he gets some money. So it's the linkage is that the money comes from not having a job and tying it to smoking of weed, which allows us to conclude he's dealing in drugs. Is that what you want us to do?
That's correct, Your Honor. The statement is, I smoke weed and sometimes get enough to make a little money to pay for rent and still have enough to get high myself. So the inference the government is asking you to draw, and that the district court drew, I believe, is that when he stated he makes a little money to pay for rent and still have enough to get high myself, that he sells marijuana from the marijuana that he purchases for rent and to pay for the marijuana that he himself smokes.
That was in the district court's ruling also, where she says the statement that he sometimes sold some marijuana to pay for the rent would indicate that he distributed some amount for remuneration, which I would put us in the category of 21 U.S.C. and so on.
Yes, Your Honor, that's at page 18 of the sentencing transcript. That's correct. She also states before that on page 17, that I once again come back to the defendant's own statement to police, where in part he states that he used marijuana and occasionally sold some to pay the rent, and he kept the gun for protection. I'm paraphrasing a bit, but that's all in his statement. That's the district court's oral statement at sentencing, Your Honor.
But no time frame has reporter's indicator about that.
That's true, Your Honor. In his sworn statement, he doesn't state when he sold the marijuana. We believe the inference is the fact that he states he's lived there the last 2 months and then speaks about selling marijuana and or obtaining money that he's speaking about the marijuana that was found at the place and the other evidence of marijuana dealing, such as police surveillance and the evidence that's recovered from the trash and also during the search warrant. Your Honors, defense also contends that the search warrant was executed in an unreasonable manner. Since officers knew that there was likely a drug dealer in the residence and that there were weapons in the residence, since officers took steps to ensure that the individuals inside the residence wouldn't be injured, that is, look inside, check with the occupants to try to ensure that there were no children downstairs, and also looking at the area before they deployed the distraction device, and the fact that they carried a fire extinguisher as a precaution, I believe all support the finding of the district court that the search warrant execution was reasonable. The defendant also contends the evidence was insufficient to support the jury's verdict. Your Honor, the defendant was found in the residence where the firearms were located. He stated that he lived there. He confessed orally to more than one officer. Later, he confessed in a written, signed, sworn statement. That was a few hours later. He also made another inculpatory statement when he was arrested by the ATF. He said that he didn't steal the guns or fire them. And lastly, Your Honor, the defendant's palm print was located on one of the two guns. Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, I would ask you to affirm the district court.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Mr. Donner.
There's no evidence of any rent being paid to anyone in this case. To take the defendant's statements at face value and just use them when you want and to bolster your case should not be sufficient for the government to meet its burden in this case. The defendant has obviously told statements that are not true to the police for whatever reason. They had just come through that house, initiated two flashbang devices with children in there, and knowing that the basement that they threw a flashbang device was occupied. Round everybody up, get them upstairs. And then the defendant starts volunteering. Why, I don't know, but he does. And he volunteers statements that are inaccurate, that are not true. Maybe he's doing it to protect the other members of his family who are there. I don't know. But he's saying statements that are not true.
Your problem, counsel, is that the burden at the moment is you have to show the district court made clearly erroneous findings of fact. And it's awfully hard for a litigant to say it was clearly erroneous for any judge to believe me. I'm such an obvious liar. Do you know of any cases where we've accepted an argument of that sort? Where the litigant himself claims to be such an obvious liar that no reasonable judge could believe him?
It's a verifiable lie, though. He on the one, he claims he's on a lease. There isn't even a lease. It's a contract for deed, and he's not on any of these documents.
It's, you know, that's the kind of thing lawyers say. It isn't a lease.
Well,
what normal people say would be different, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess I understand that, but the point is, it's verifiable that, and the judge knew this at the time, that he's telling the police officers things that are not true, at least in that particular instance. And the other one he is alleged to have said is, I sometimes smoke weed and sometimes get enough to pay for rent. And for them not to establish that any rent is being paid, for them not to establish any tie whatsoever other than him standing in the basement when the search warrant is executed, I submit to this court there was far more evidence that he does not live there. No mail, no clothes, no. The detective testified he went into a bedroom and it's not inhabitable. There's no bed in there. Where is this guy supposed to be living for the last 2 months? It doesn't make any sense. I would submit focus on the time frame. There is no time frame. I sometimes smoke. When? I don't think they've met the burden. I didn't think they met the burden at the time. And when the judge was struggling with the decision and she ultimately made the decision, I was kind of shocked having sat through the trial. And I feel confident that there is not enough evidence to support that particular enhancement.
You're saying you have only his word that he stayed there, Mr. Dumbass?
That's what I'm saying to you, Your Honor. Exactly. There's no other evidence that he was staying there. None. Only one statement to the police made at a time when it was very confrontational, it was very tense. And that's all I can tell you. That's it. That's all I have.
He'd been back in Springfield for 2.5 months, is that? Or in Springfield?
I'm not exactly sure, Judge. I mean, my understanding was from the testimony that he was living with it. He had been away. He came back. I don't know the time frame, but he had been with his mother. Staying with
his mother. The U.S. Attorney just read a statement about 2.5 months.
A statement that was typed by the detectives and admittedly signed by my client. But I don't know if that particular portion, 2 months, applies to how long he was alleged to have been staying at this house or how long he'd been back in town. Your question was how long had he been back in Springfield.
So that's all the statement related. At least we know he was back, and at least we believe the statement, 2.5 months in Springfield.
Correct. Thank you.
All right. All right, thanks to both counsel. Mr. Noya, you were appointed in this case, were you not?
Correct.
And you have an additional thanks to the court for your able representation of the defendant in this court.
I appreciate that.
All right. Case is taken under advisement.